Hello, friends. On today's show, Grandfather's Got Hives. A fast woman gets advice from a cop. There's this cool battery, and boy, did they fix up a railway village. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the after times. You get what I'm talking about. So come on, let's say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world. You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Bell.
You have one.
I have surprises.
What?
You'll see.
Oh.
Oh, you'll all see.
I think Brett's pregnant.
Isn't it? I'll talk to him about what causes
No, but my liver is quite fatty. My sister did make fun of me because of it. She said, "I'm worried about your fatty liver." And I said, "I am human foie gras." So she was like, "That also."
Hannibal Lecter approves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. hey, everybody. Welcome to Two Beers In, where I am staying consistent with having beers. And we'll tell all of you.
Oh, wait. What's in the little glass?
Well, let me get there.
This was like the first time in months we've all three had beers.
I know. I don't even know who we are anymore.
We're trying to stay to canon by drinking beers and telling good stories.
Yes.
So I am your host, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying a Miller High Life with an old granddad chaser to go with it.
Oh, man, what's next? You got to demand they put on the ball game over there on the TV?
You know.
You found the only drinks in the bar older than you.
That's right.
I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard. I'm having a Helles lager.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. And that's all. I'm not having anything in a short little shot glass.
Well, I mean, that's because, like, you know. I can drink those things, and being the size that I am.
That's true.
With my non-alcoholic fatty liver,
by the way. Yes, okay.
I made sure that was very specific. Oh, but look, there's Doug over there.
What?
Hi, and I think Monica's the coolest, so I'm having a Helles as well.
Yeah.
Helles, yeah.
And even if this is canon, I don't want to be shot out of it.
Nope. We've got stories. We want to talk about them. We're going to start right now. No, wait. But here's the first surprise.
Okay.
Y'all ready for the first surprise?
Yeah.
Y'all ready for this?
Here we go.
Good news, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was because Monica earlier in the day said, no, or was it you that
no,
put
it was,
up?
No, it was me.
Yeah,
it
was that
me.
Was good you, news, everyone. And I was like, well, you know.
Good news, everyone.
Not only do I have that one, I have this one, too.
Good news, everyone.
Variety.
Yes.
Ooh.
Don't ask me for any more. There's only four buttons here.
Oh, that's okay.
Have we been hanging out so much that we look like Brett gets us confused?
Good news, everyone.
So we're going to start from letter A. No, actually, we're going to start with the letter
B. Bees, because this is a story about bees.
Bees!
And a family's love for each other. Sorry, I've been looking at Pornhub too much. But
wow.
No.
What are you doing, stepbrother?
So it's a tad late for Grandparents' Day, but a man in Scotland recently found the hives tended by his grandfather that were presumed sold or lost for over 14 years. So 14 years ago, suddenly there were no more bees.
I lost my bees.
Yeah. So he located them in a quarry and took up beekeeping in order to assume responsibility for his inheritance. And his business now sells honey to farmer markets across Scotland. So the thing that's amazing, it's like a huge colony of bees. It's in the millions. That's just been doing its own thing. He's like, yes, I'm taking care of them. I don't know. After 14 years, are you really taking care of them? Or are you just getting honey from them.
I'm sure when they interview the bees, they're like, I've never even met the guy.
You know what? Doug, you know what the bees would say? It's a living.
The thing is, these are probably all new bees who had no memory of people taking care of them at all.
What is it? Not Sisyphus. It's the ship. Ship of Thebes?
Yeah, the ship of Theseus.
Yeah, Theseus. It's Theseus bees because right. they've all... Is it the same one if these are, all the bees have been replaced? So Ross Maine grew up with being very close to his grandfather, whose name was William, a beekeeper and gameskeeper who regularly took him to check up on his bees. There's a YouTube channel where this woman wrangles bees, and she has the calmest voice.
Oh, does she?
But she always makes sure to say, and so we got these bees. And so then... We were very, nobody stung anybody, and I put the bees in the, and it was one time where I was just like, say bees again.
Right.
So, unfortunately, William passed away from cancer in 2007, and Mr. Maine assumed his hives had been sold. After the birth of his own son in 2015, Maine was inspired to try and find them. So I guess, okay, so he traveled from his home in Fife in Scotland to the East Lothian quarry where his grandfather kept his hives and was stunned to discover an original colony that had taken care of itself for years.
Was he stunned or was he stung?
Stung.
Yes.
Stunged. Well, and so I'm saying, if you haven't been to Fife, you know, like your grandfather's place in 15 years, it wasn't really that big of a search. It's like, well, I'm just going to go back.
Right. Yeah.
He's busy having kids. I mean, granted.
Sure.
So, 7 years on, out of nostalgia, I went to the quarry, and there was still a hive there. In that moment, I knew I wanted to look after the hive and rehome the bees, and I started learning from there. Maine then began to teach himself beekeeping using videos on YouTube. Probably that woman.
Yes. Who talks about the bees.
The bees. Donning a beekeeper's suit and transferring the colony to their new home. Using smoke, just gentle smoke,
yes.
to move the bees.
Puff, puff, pass.
Puff, puff, pass for the bees. He then grew them into a population of 5 million bees, split into around 100 colonies, all descended from William's remnant. So Ross's business, Maine's Apiaries, now sells honey to farm shops from 3 harvests a year. All right. Doing all right. Beekeeper Ross, well, then they say it was the picture. Being around bees could be quite scary because there are big swarms, and I was quite young, but it really captured my imagination.
Now do it in a Scottish accent.
Oh, man. It's going to be horrible.
We're going to lose that audience member.
Wait. Head, move, no. All right, here we go. Being around the bees could be quite scary because they're big swarms, and I was quite young. But that really captured my imagination. How did I do? Was that okay?
That was pretty good.
All right, just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So I started with one hive, and they naturally multiplied every year. Over the years, they've gradually built up, and we split them into new hives. So... In 2021, he took the next step and started his business. And the idea of showing other people the bees came from the first time my granddad took me to see the bees. He opened the hives.
See the bees.
He opened the hives, and I was quite a magical thing to be around all the swarms of bees. It's an experience I never forgot, and I wanted to offer it to other people. So that's just neat that this guy
threw bees at him.
Yep.
I am the bee master.
I can tell you, Nicolas Cage has never been.
Yeah. Not that, going? Nope.
Why not did it bit. Have to be bees? So, yeah, that's just like a nice thing. A guy kind of reconnected with his grandfather, or at least his bees.
So it turns out it wasn't a great bee die-off. They're just all in aquariums.
They were just hanging out in Scotland.
They were sort of entrenched in an area that kept them protected quite a bit. So they were I guess fairly easy to get
just
to.
Just left
but
America and went to Scotland.
I'll just have to go to Scotland when I go. I'm like, would you like to go to the moors? Would you like to go to the Highlands? Would you like to try some?
Would you like the high
scotch?
Road? Will you take the road? We'll
take the road. Like I'm just trying to get to the bees. Can I see the bees in a quarry? And they throw me into the quarry. I'm dead.
So this woman who talks about the bees. Like that.
Yeah.
When my dad and I went on a father-daughter trip to Key West, we went to go see a butterfly conservatory.
Okay.
And they set you up for the experience by, it's like, they gather everyone around and go, all right, we're going to open the door now. But there's a little entryway, and when you leave, you're going to enter into this little area and just look around you and anyone who came with you. And make sure you don't have any of our butterflies still lighted on you. So she set up the whole mood.
Sure.
For what we're about to experience, this magical thing by taking our, you know, woo, butterflies.
Yeah,
down,
and they're like,
down
just
to,
can
down
we
to this.
Just a little.
Yes, here we go.
Yeah.
Are you ready? It's a wonderful experience. Here we go. So, sort of like the Stepford butterflies.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're very lucky butterflies.
We want the calmest Disney movie ever.
I had laughed years ago when I was a DJ at a radio station. My partner and I had read up that the butterfly exhibit at the Houston Museum of Natural Science was opening up a butterfly exhibit of live butterflies.
Yes.
And they said, and they were boasting, there's 10,000 butterflies that are in this place. And I was watching it to hope to see that all these kids, because they're like, all these kids are going to be going, seeing the butterflies. I was like, the 3 hours after the thing's open, we now have 2,000 butterflies. Because those kids are like, oh my God! He landed on me, Kelly, with fire.
One, two, three. Goddamn. One, two.
Come on. Open, 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 open.
She's talking about her beer.
That's what he said.
There we go.
Okay. So the next story.
The
next story is when she was stopped for speeding, officer gave a life-changing advice. So 2 years ago, Alabama's Abby Rutledge was driving on her way to work when she saw the blue lights flashing behind her.
Woo, woo,
this is
woo,
the beginning
woo,
of a
woo,
porn.
Woo, woo.
This is the beginning of a
I
porn.
I never thought it would happen to me.
Yeah. I've heard stories, but I never thought it could happen to me.
Dear Penthouse.
But what she didn't know as she pulled over to the side of the road, heart beating up in her ears with anxiety, is that it would be one of the best things that ever happened to her. Really, this really is starting like porn. Except here's the part that makes it not porn.
Oh.
Alabama state trooper. No, it's not happening. JT Brown noted that
it's
Rutledge was speeding.
Porn.
The 20-year-old replied that she was sorry. She didn't have the money to pay a speeding ticket and was stuck in a dead-end job. So most people have a story about talking their way out of a ticket, but Trooper Brown was probably heard it all before. His response? Well, let's talk about it then.
Sure.
Okay, again, still porny.
Again, yeah, really.
This is still porny.
This is still creepy.
So Rutledge told Steve Hartman of CBS News that the talk went on for about 15 minutes, just sitting in the car talking about different career choices. In conclusion, if one can believe it, was that the state trooper convinced Rutledge to enroll in nursing school. And it might have been that they were just talking about it, and he goes, you know, you can go to nursing school.
I'd like to see you in a nurse's outfit.
See, again, porny.
Yep.
Quite porny.
Hello, nurse.
Yeah. 2 years later, Rutledge is a surgical technician at the University of Alabama Hospital. She loves her job and credits Trooper Brown with her accomplishment. I do believe the University of Alabama Hospital is in Huntsville. I think it is. I may be wrong. I was just reading this because, you know, EK is from Alabama. So she invited Brown to her graduation, showing him that she was still had the citation from that fateful traffic stop and had not paid for it, listed as $0. Oh, including the handwritten message, promise me you'll go into scrub or nursing school and slow down and I won't give you a ticket. So when asked if he ever imagined the talk would lead to any actual change in the young woman's life, Brown replied, never. It shows the power that lending a considerate ear can have on a person, even if they're a complete stranger.
So the next time you stop someone, what was the career choice, do you think? I think you ought to be a bartender.
Yeah. I think you should get into electricity.
Should get into electricity.
Yep.
You know.
Shocking.
HVAC technicians make a lot of money. They
yep.
do.
Yep.
Yes, they do.
You know, I could see you in garbage.
Not as a career choice, just because that's my kink.
Yeah, it's like, what's that about? Nothing. I see you in garbage?
I'm sure nothing in the arts or anything like that probably.
You could be a dancer.
Right. Let's see. How many ways can we disappoint your mother? Yeah. I know.
You could draw comics.
You could play pool professionally.
Yep. Wait. There we go. get
a little Foley in there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this is old granddad's getting.
It tastes like it, huh?
Oh, it's.
It's getting a little. What else?
Why don't you tell us about science, Monica?
Well, as soon as I can open this.
If you touch it on the side.
It's still not cooperating.
What's happening?
It's not cooperating.
So, that is weird. Because it's supposed to just go, like, right here.
I know. Hey!
Hey.
You've got...
I'm a tech.
The man.
I'm an IT professional.
Have you ever thought about going in IT?
Yep.
Have you thought about being a nurse?
Yes.
Hello, nurse. Do you want to make more money? Sure, we all do.
Sponge baths? Yes, please.
World's largest battery. Still sounds like porn.
Yep.
to revolutionize renewable energy in storage in Maine.
And that's that. Don't talk about the last.
Okay.
Don't talk about the last part.
Because that, yeah.
That's the whole story right there.
That's a clumsy headline right there. All right. In northern Maine, a company is planning the largest battery ever made by humans with 8,500 megawatt hours of storage.
Of storage.
Okay. The purpose is to store renewable energy like solar and wind, produced but not needed for times when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing.
Sure.
The batteries store and discharge energy via a novel process called reverse rustling.
Rusting.
Oh, I liked rustling better.
It's not rustling.
They give the cows back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reverse rusting.
That is potential energy.
Inside a battery is iron, and as the battery stores electricity, it takes in oxygen from the air, turning the iron inside into iron oxide, or...
Rust,
yes. When it discharges, the oxygen is released and the oxide is removed, leaving the iron pure again.
It's almost like a version of hydrogen generators. No. Hydrogen, well, in that there's one, like when you're doing storage, the oxygen and the hydrogen are split or they're combined and it becomes water, but then when you're discharging it, then it splits into, it's something like that. There's a science. I promise that there was a connection where it's like two things come together.
Join us next episode where he teaches us how to do meth.
Yes. Two things come together. Still porn. So while unsuitable for everyday electronics, great, this method works at scale and is around 1/10 of the running and manufacturing costs of using lithium ion batteries.
And it's also not a conflict metal.
Oh.
Because lithium is.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of lithium comes from Montana. I don't think we're too far against them.
True, but but you know, that's also taking place in South America too, and there's all kinds of problems there because of this.
So, with 8,500 megawatt hours of power at maximum capacity, the battery bank could power up to 85,000 homes for 100 hours.
Yeah.
The battery system will have more energy capacity of any announced in the world.
Yeah.
The amount of power it contains would allow an electric car to circumnavigate the world 1,288 times.
And that's if they don't stop for bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or to clean the bathrooms.
A hell of a speed to get across the ocean like that.
Yeah, I know.
Or to stop at Bucky's.
They could definitely do it with one of those cyber trucks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So what was it? There was someone who referred to a Cybertruck as, I can't think of it now. Gosh darn it.
For me, it's an 8-bit rendering of a truck.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me.
And it's like, okay, so if the 8-year-old isn't designing your truck, what does it look like?
Yeah. But it would also have dinosaurs on it. I think that if somebody gets, you know, like, my opinion of the person would go up. If they had a Cybertruck, it goes down, but then they put dinosaurs on it. Then I'm like,
yep. I saw the Cybertruck referred to as a DeLorean.
DeLorean. That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
And I saw a whole passel of DeLoreans on a truck. It was a truck transporting Cybertrucks, several of them. To go, like, I'm supposed to dealerships.
Look, the mothership.
Exactly.
No, they're not set at dealerships. They go straight to the customer.
They go, okay. Well.
Yeah. It's the way it works. I have a friend who has just retired, and the first thing he did was get one of those, and I was like, yay, good for you. Oh. All right, man, it's your truck. I'm not going to tell you anything. It's like... It's an ugly ass car. I hate driving behind it in my go kart, but that's a different thing. So let's finish this one out.
All right.
That is it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's. I mean, I think that's really.
Except that their size, they stand about 3 feet tall, and they're about the size of a side by side washer dryer unit.
Sure. I mean, I've been wanting to get a Powerwall, like something along the lines of the Powerwall, speaking of Tesla.
What would you power with it?
I mean, what I'd like to do is either do solar or do a generator.
Okay.
Because the thing is I'm wanting to use
it. But you don't trust the Texas grid?
What?
Whoops.
Exactly, brother. I want to have backup power. Like, I think it's been proven. I know we're going, huh. You know, there's plenty of second world countries that have to deal with this. Should we?
Now we're
coming up with solutions.
Brett wants a home powered by bees.
By bees.
Hamsters.
If it was cat poop.
1,000 hamsters.
If it was cat poop, man, my house would be powered all the time. All the time.
Look at your not-so-single cat lady.
Yeah, oh. The cats love her.
Yeah?
Yeah. They like me. They're like, all right, you're all right.
They tolerate you.
They're like, no.
Oh, okay.
I got a couple that are like, I'm coming to you.
Okay.
She'll be sitting over there.
Yeah.
Now come to me. I'm like, do y'all need to eat? Because she's the one that... No, you pet right. Okay.
Okay.
She's the Disney movie. He's the DreamWorks.
Oh. That's right. I'm Farquaad. That's right.
We can only animate two of these?
Yes.
Damn.
This one, it's one of the British ones. But a historic railway village transformed from dangerous no-go area to functioning heritage neighborhood. Kind of remind me of the buildings in Detroit, the old car plants in Detroit that are all falling apart. It's like, what if you took one of those and turned it into a really cool thing? So a major restoration project in Lower England has seen one of the world's largest railways or rail works turn into a modern celebration of this industrial heritage. And if you can click on the link and look at what the structure is, it's actually really cool. It'd be at the top, right?
I'm looking at the article now.
Oh, okay.
And I feel very fortunate to be looking at the article.
All right. So, see all these, you want to try it?
Wait.
Okay, you're looking.
Yeah,
look at that. Look at that.
See all these pitched roofs and blockhouses. Once upon a time, there were homes provided for the workers by the Swindon Railway Village.
Awesome.
Where mechanics and laborers lived and worked near what was the railway engineering complex in the world at one... What?
In the world at one point.
At what was the railway engineering complex? I mean, they probably mean...
The largest.
They probably mean largest, but
yeah.
AI didn't catch it.
It was the railway engineering.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you. Really, they should. We're going to have to contact them and go, man, come on.
Me speak pretty one day.
Yeah.
So Isambard Kingdom Brunel. wow.
Yeah.
Arguably, the greatest engineer Britain ever produced, established the Swindon Works to construct and maintain steam locomotives that serve the railways.
Was he Sir Topham Hatt? Was he Sir Topham Hatt?
Sir Topham Hatt?
Yes. Do you know what that's from?
No.
It's from the Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh.
Come on. It had...
you weren't a little
Ringo
British boy
they
20 years
Ringo
ago?
They had Ringo Starr.
I was not a British boy
they had
30 years ago.
Ringo Starr. They had George Carlin. They had... People that should not be on that show.
I had a job.
Okay, fine. So, yes, Sir Topham Hatt was the one who ran the whole thing and was, he looked like, anyway.
So, oh, yeah, okay. Well, I need for you to do the voice of railway blacksmith Jack Hayward.
Oh, here we go. Oh, and he's old, too. Okay,
yes.
We'll get there.
Okay. It also contained a whole village built to house and entertain the workers and their families. But over time, as the GWR lost its luster, the Swindon Works became largely obsolete and until recently was the most dangerous neighborhoods in the city.
Oh, I was robbed and mugged here. It was a no-go area.
Said 91-year-old former railway blacksmith Jack Hayward, surveying the GWR Park in Swindon.
What they've done to transform it was remarkable.
Thank you. We'll call you.
Okay. I can do Swedish. That wasn't me. That wasn't me.
The Swindon heritage.
It was definitely him.
So the Swindon Works was designed by Isambard Brunel, and it came with a large park that contained a cricket pitch and a pub for cricketers. The pub, which had been boarded up for decades, has been restored as a community hub and visitor center to the whole area, while the park has been expanded, clean, beautified, cloaked in flowers, and ornamented with trees along the borders of the original park plan. Mm. Festooned, if you will.
Festooned. Fantastic.
Yes, it looks lovely.
Lovely.
Cherry blossom trees have been planted in the gardens of the workers' cottages, and plaques containing information and images of the history and landmarks of works has been placed throughout the village.
Right next to the red light district.
And now the gentrification is complete. And all the poor people are gone.
Yes.
And it's only tech nomads that are in there.
We've turned the poor into Soylent.
And we're so glad that there are Starbucks. There are three Starbucks here.
Yes.
Inside one, the Starbucks is another Starbucks.
You can get a decent cup of tea in a Starbucks, so don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Yes, but none of those technomads care, because none of them are from England. They're all They're all from New York.
Where did you grow up, and was there a no-go zone in that?
I grew up in Houston.
Oh, that was a no-go zone.
And for a while,
except for maybe Clear Lake.
For a while, actually.
And the Woodlands.
The condos where Doug lives.
Yeah.
That was a no-go place.
Yeah, actually, that was one of the reasons why I bought it. It was still priced like it was a no-go zone.
Yeah, no, it is so
funny. I paid $42,000 for it.
Yeah, but I was an entitled little white kid, so I never thought about any of that kind of stuff, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there was rougher areas, but you just, okay, then just be careful. I mean, I guess if you go over to the Third Ward, that would be the area that you really shouldn't go, or North Point, or Greens Point, or also known as Guns Point.
So, oh man,
yeah,
woo, rough neighborhood.
Yeah,
Sharpstown.
Yeah, Sharpstown.
Growing up in Sellersville, Pennsylvania, my grandparents lived in Perkasie, a neighboring town 1 mile over. And when we used to visit them, we used to, you know, walk around the neighborhood and stuff, but there was this railroad bridge with a sign that said, "Do not enter." And my parents and my grandparents told me and my three sisters that we couldn't walk past that railroad bridge because there were bears in that We don't know if that was true. I think they just didn't want us to wander very far because of the railroad tracks and stuff like that. But, yeah, I always remember, can't go in there. There's bears in there. I've never seen a bear in the wild in my life. So
I have.
He was making friends with Brett's dog.
Mm-hmm. So, wait, is this more porn?
No, it was not.
Oh, okay, good.
No, that was at Estes Park.
In Colorado.
Yes. And Bob decided that he wanted to go say hi to the big dog.
Oh, my.
And this is like at 5:30 in the morning.
Bob was his dog, by the way.
Yeah, Bob was the dog.
Bob was a great dog.
Best dog in the world. And, he...
What's your name?
He's sitting there looking past me.
Yeah.
Tail wagging. And I'm like, well, that's weird because there's no one awake right now. And I turn and it's just right across the street. There's a bear looking at us like, hey man.
Hey.
I mean, it wasn't angry. It was just like, hey. And that's when Bob decided he wanted to go see the dog.
Got any waffles?
So he ran over and got halfway to the thing. And I just went, no. Bob sat.
Yeah.
Immediately, he's like, oh, I'm in trouble. He sat and the bear went, oh, my God, and just took off running. So I went and calmly grabbed Bob, walked back to the tent. My sister, who was in another tent, is like, what's happening? I go, look out. You can see what's happening. And the bear is running for the tree line. And Simone is like, is that? I go, yeah, that's a bear right there.
Right.
And Bob and the bear hits the tree line and stops and turns and looks at me like, what the fuck, dude? I wasn't doing anything.
Just wanted to rifle through your trash.
I'm just seeing what's up. I mean, I'm not a grizzly. Come on.
It's not like this is a no-go zone or anything.
Yeah. It's like, hey,
you know what isn't a no-go zone?
Patreon.com/2beersin.
Anybody can go there.
Anybody.
We
want everyone.
We recommend it.
Yes.
Yes.
There you can subscribe to us and, just a little bit of money. Get two episodes or an extra episode each week that we do our little Patreon episode. I don't even have anything for it now. I'm thinking about it now. It's like, oh, yeah, what are we going to talk about afterwards? We'll talk about that next. But, go like, subscribe. Send us emails. You can do that at 2beersin, #2beersin,
yes,
at weightlesspod.com. And also, if you're looking for us on your podcast aggregator, don't forget, use the #2 in 2beersin.
That's right.
And not T-W-O.
Or T-O-O.
As Doug,
or T-O.
As Doug has pointed out to me. So thank you, Doug, for pointing that out to us.
Why can't I find the podcast I'm on?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for being part of us, being part of us. I've got a good song to end up. I realize it's been a long time since we played this person, this soulful person, this person who was known as the hardest working man in show business. He was known as the godfather of soul.
That's right.
If anybody is going to give a pep in your step, it's this guy.
Yeah.
In fact, let me tell you something about this guy. A lot of people don't know about this, that the day after Martin Luther King was assassinated, this guy had a show in Boston that he was playing. And everybody was worried about the whole thing because riots, there was riots planned and all kinds of stuff. So he said, put me on TV. And he put on TV, and crime went down in Boston that day. No riots, no nothing. Of course, we're talking about James Brown.
Oh, I thought it was Pee Wee Herman.
It was Pee Wee Herman. He was
Aiken, South Carolina.
That was his alter ego. Huh? Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah, I never saw him in the room at the same time.
No, they were never in the same room at the same time.
All Rubens, Pee Wee Herman, and James Brown?
Yep.
Never happened.
Never. Never. So here's a fun song. Enjoy it. I've been your host, Brett Weaver. I've been enjoying... Well...
You've been enjoying?
No. I've been drinking a Miller Lite. No, it's not a Miller Lite.
It's
just
High Life.
Miller High Life,
yeah.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And this old granddad, which I'm going to finish.
Which is shoe leather.
I'm Monica Ballard. I've been drinking a quality beer, a Helles Lager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Doug.
And my beer is Helles good, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you all are noticing that. Every time you say Helles, I always say yeah.
Hell yes.
You go Helles.
Helles, yeah.
Helles,
yeah. Bees.
Bees. All right, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Soul. Get up, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. They're doing it down in Nassau. Drive that funky soul. They're doing it by the beach. Driving that funky soul. New York, get yourself together, and drive your funky soul. Let your body pop, and let your feeling fold. Raise up, get yourself together, and drive that funky soul. When I say Sagittarius, and drive that funky soul. When I say Pisces, holler, and drive your funky soul. When I say Gemini, and drive that funky soul. When I say Capricorn, and drive your funky soul. When I say Scorpio, Virgo, and drive your funky soul. If I say Cancer, can you drive that funky soul? Up, get yourself together and drive your funky soul. Slaughter, get on up, get yourself together, drive that funky soul. Leo, get yourself together and drive your funky soul. Aquarius, get yourself together and drive that funky soul. Get yourself together and drive that funky soul. Get up, get yourself together and drive that funky soul. Need some money, ha, and drive your funky soul.
news, everyone.